Is it recording? Is this thing on?
I feel like this thing is on.
Okay, here we go.
We're doing it.
It's time. Should we do the song to center ourselves?
Yes. When I was a kid at school learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday. How could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
So, like, bouncy, mm-hmm. but, like, kind of presidential.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm into it.
Okay, right. That's it.
Yeah.
Episode zero.
Zero. Welcome.
Welcome to Beyond Reproach. Yes. That's Stephanie Domingo.
This is Tux Lurzel.
And we are Beyond Reproach.
We are.
We personally are Beyond Reproach.
Definitely. No one else is. Just us.
So this is a podcast. This is our first episode, and we have no idea what we're doing.
None.
We're...
But we have a guest who's helping us.
This is Tim Clough. Say hi, Tim.
Okay. I thought we were going to have to edit in a voice for you.
Well, hi.
Hiya. So we're doing this.
He's just here to hold our hands so that we feel more comfortable.
We're here in my apartment that's super duper bare, because I'm living quite wildly. I have no couch, bare walls, but I have friends and
this
cheese.
This is it, yes, friends and cheese and cocktails.
And a microphone.
Yes.
Microphone.
So this is the first episode. It will be a shit show, so just hold on to your hats. Hold on to your butts, as Samuel would say. We are drinking, we will be drinking, and if everything goes according to plan, we will be drunk.
Oh, God.
For every single episode.
This is why I'm going first, because I'm already, I'm on the line.
So, just so you know what to expect, this will be a podcast, this will be a podcast.
And I almost spat liquor into my laptop.
This will be a podcast about scandals and scandalousness
in
government and politics.
And the scandalousness might be us.
Yeah, I mean, we will be scandalous,
but
the people we'll be discussing are even more scandalous.
In theory.
The reason we're talking about this is because our government is scandalous.
That's putting it very mildly, but yes.
And we just need to lighten things up.
Yeah.
Just so we can live our lives and not jump out of a window.
Yeah, I've not been, following the news at all.
Oh, Tim and I had a discussion on the way over here today.
Since going on vacation 2 months ago, I haven't looked at any news. I got rid of all of my news podcasts, but I still get news.
Well, because I forward you stories all the time,
yeah, everyone,
so I need to stop that.
Because I love politics, so all my friends are still forwarding me things, but I am not actively pursuing the news because it's dark.
That is 100% accurate.
Yeah, and it's for mental health reasons.
Yes.
And I feel so much better not knowing what that...
So, in my mind, a politician is... first and foremost, a...
Public servant.
A public servant, exactly.
In
yes. theory. They should be
a public
servant.
Yes.
And they should be sort of the best person they can be for us. We need somebody who is better than ourselves to run the show. Because every one of us...
Yeah.
We're a mess.
Or at least trying to be better.
Yes.
Because they're still human. They're still a shitty, shitty meat sausage like us. They should be trying, aspiring to be better.
But that's not what's happening.
Clearly.
I mean, it's not what's happening now, but it's not really ever what has happened. So the reason we're calling this podcast Beyond Reproach is because in theory, in my mind... a politician should be not perfect, but yeah, a politician should be beyond reproach. Their actions and activities should be, you know, above board.
Above board, yes.
They should be doing things,
yeah,
you know,
the right
on the
way.
Level.
On the level, yes.
So I actually did some Googling.
Ooh.
What does it mean when someone says they're beyond reproach? And Susan Blake of the internet.
And who's she?
She is a human on the internet.
Oh God.
She's not a professional, okay. But she is a person who has an opinion and is putting said opinion on the internet.
Wow, okay.
I mean, imagine that in 2018.
Yeah, imagine. Just give me a moment.
But so, I mean, I took a screen cap.
Ooh.
of her opinion because I agree. When someone is beyond reproach, according to Susan Blake, it means that someone's behavior is so appropriate, so manifestly correct, and
wow.
so reasonable,
whoa.
Given the particular set of circumstances, that no one could find fault with it.
Hmm.
So that's what I want a politician to be.
Yeah.
But as you'll soon find out.
Yeah, that's tough. For them.
Many politicians.
Maybe because
are not beyond reproach.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe because they're all megalomaniacs.
Or megalodons.
Oh, what's a megalodon?
Isn't that like a.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
You're thinking of a mastodon.
I'm looking at Tim like he knows
you're
what
looking,
it,
I think you're thinking of a mastodon.
Is it a sea creature? A megalodon? Is
no.
it like a...
I don't think
like
a megalodon a is a thing.
It's the bloop, basically.
Oh, how dare you.
If anyone... No, we should edit that
Tim,
out.
Tim, I was about to say, Tim, edit out any and all mentions of the bloop.
Yeah.
The bloop's not real, and we don't want to be spreading disinformation.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. No one... If this oh. state, if this remains in... Don't don't you dare Google the bloop.
Oh, God! Everyone just Google the bloop, you know.
Yes. I mean...
I'm Googling the bloop.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, if you believe... If you also happen to believe that the Earth is flat...
Yeah, no, it's right
you may...
it's
you
in
may
the vein
also,
of the bloop.
Yes.
Definitely.
The bloop exists on the same plane
yes.
as a flat Earth.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, they're one in the same... Yeah. I actively forget the bloop. Like, occasionally it'll pop into my head, and I'm just like, nope, I reject you. Not going there.
We absolutely need to stop talking about the bloop, because
seriously.
We need to cut this
okay.
out. So you were saying a politician is a megalomaniac, not a megalodon.
Yeah, because...
Which I do believe is a sea creature, like a prehistoric
yeah,
sea
maybe.
Creature.
Yeah,
But I'm not
mastodon.
A scientist. I'm not a dinosaur scientist
yeah.
or any other kind of scientist,
yeah.
so...
Are they called paleontologists, or am I making that up?
What is this?
In
English, please.
Okay. I get most of my information from, about scientists from Indiana Jones.
Okay.
So.
Not from Michael Jackson.
Not this time. But yeah, you're right. Politicians should be better than us.
Yes. But they're not, so we're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because in a time... when everything is dark and scary and, you know, we have concerns and conversations about, you know, the imminent end of society as we know it.
Oh.
okay. It's fun
yeah.
to gently poke fun.
Yeah, I feel like you're hinting at North Korea things.
Oh, dear.
But I've only heard bits and pieces, and I'm
that
I'm
wasn't
good.
Even part of the well,
oh.
I guess it was kind of part of the conversation,
okay.
but we won't. We're not
going
to go there, because that's not what
there.
This podcast
yeah,
is for.
Yeah, we're about historical scandals,
mm-hmm.
because the current administration...
Historical-ish.
Ish, yeah.
I mean, they certainly most certainly can be historical, but they also might be slightly more contemporary,
yeah.
but not current.
They can come... Thank you. Not current. Definitely.
Because that's just too much.
Oh, no. We're not going there. And there's plenty of podcasts that are going there.
Yes.
So.
You guys don't need that. You
yeah.
don't need any more of that, because that's already there if you want it.
Yeah, and I can't do it. I refuse.
So we're gonna gently poke fun at people who should be beyond reproach, but are most certainly reproachable.
Yes. Yes. definitely.
As we said a moment ago, this is our first episode.
Yeah.
Neither of us have ever recorded a podcast before. Neither of us have ever even really listened to our voices in a microphone before, and it's horrifying.
It's awful. It's awful in every way.
We don't like the sound of our own voices.
But I'm going to keep it in. Because I'm a professional.
Uh-huh.
Starting now.
I don't even like to leave a voicemail message on my phone because I don't want to have to hear that.
Yeah. Ugh.
I feel like...
Yeah, I haven't had a voicemail message since I had a cell phone.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not... Yeah, that's how... It's just like nails on the chalkboard. I can't... I can't hear myself.
I feel like my voice, when it comes out of my face... It's fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You've grown to love it.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
Let's walk it back. Be okay with it.
But it's fine. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Yeah. But then when I hear it coming out of a microphone...
God.
Good golly.
Yeah.
I sound much more homosexual than I see myself.
Present?
I mean, I suck dick.
Yeah.
So there's that, but... I don't know what that is. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Send us
an email. TheOnReproachPod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Do I sound super gay?
Well, yes. Okay. Prepare to have our Gmail crushed. But, okay.
Oh, look at that. We just got our first hate mail.
My phone's on fire. What? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We're starting off strong.
We are. I also hate my voice, but I'm not going to talk about it. But yeah, it's awful, and I know you don't have to send me emails.
I mean, I'll vet those emails. So if you do send them, I'll read them.
Okay.
It's cool.
Fair. I won't.
I won't send them to Stephanie though.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah.
So to make things easier for ourselves, to make us feel more comfortable talking into a microphone, hearing our own voices, talking to you. The people of the world, we're drinking.
Yeah, sure are.
We're currently consuming a delicious beverage called a sherry cobbler. It is delightfully old-timey. It was popular in the 1800s. It was essentially the... In the words of Sarah Lohman of the MSG podcast, their cocktail episode is amazing. They are essentially the Cosmo of the 1860s. Unfortunately, the MSG podcast is no longer being recorded, but it was real good when it happened.
R.I.P.
There's a quote I have here from a book where they mention a sherry cobbler. Do I need to read this?
You don't need to read it.
Yeah.
So you picked the cocktail because my story is of the era.
Yes. So Stephanie's... it's your story. You should be the one to tell it.
I get to take it away.
Yeah, I think let's just go for it.
Oh.
If we were in the big time and we had advertisers, this is where you might hear a commercial.
Insert
pause.
Yes.
Or you won't hear any pause because we're poor. That's not true.
You can't afford a pause.
we
don't get that. We're not good enough for a pause. Yeah. We're not good enough
one
for
day,
an advertisement.
We aspire to pauses.
Yes.
One day we'll get there because we're going to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps and we're going to get ourselves a pause. So my story is of the era. It's a little background. My scandal is... The mountain called Denali, formerly Mount McKinley. So I'm going to start at the beginning. So 25,000 years ago, the first human set foot in the Western Hemisphere, like walking down through Asia, crossing the Bering Strait.
That's really the beginning.
The beginning, yeah.
I'm into it.
No, but from there, they're in Alaska.
Okay.
And they see the tallest mountain there. And of course, now my computer goes dark. Yes. They see the tallest mountain. They wouldn't have been able to miss it because it's giant. We don't know what they called it because, again, it was 25,000 years ago. But 7,000 years ago, the Athabascan people. It's a native tribe, and I know I'm getting very detailed right now.
We already gave the Gmail account, so we just got a bunch of hate mail.
Yes,
we pronounced that. excuse me, it's actually...
Athabascan people. So 7,000 years ago, they gave it a name, and they called it Denali. So that was thousands of years before the Europeans got there. So how did this mountain first named Denali become Mount McKinley? Why did the name change and who changed it is the question. So the name change, the why is really boring. The why is because this is America, because cultural imperialism, because that's how we do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
it's ours
who?
Because we said so.
Because we said so. Yeah, we got here. Yeah, you know, fuck your Native American names for things. Like, we're giving it a European one. That's how we roll. But the who is where it gets scandalous, because it's a man by the name of William A. Dickey. He's the first person credited in renaming the tallest point in North America, Mount McKinley, in 1896. So there are two accounts of the reasons why he did this. And the standard account is that... the standard account comes from the New York Sun, which is a conservative paper, so it was kind of the contrary to the failing New York Times of the day. So this was in January of 1897, so a year later, this Dickey fellow returned from an exploration of the interior of Alaska, talking about a mountain that was so towering it defied belief. He said, and I quote, "We named our great peak after William McKinley of Ohio, who had been nominated for the presidency, and that fact was the first piece of news we received on our way out of that wonderful wilderness," says Dickey. So I'm from Canton, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
I am from the hometown, I guess. They say it's the hometown. It's really his wife's hometown, but he did live there before he became president. So that's kind of how I found this story, because I was just Googling things and just getting... so confused and like not being able to find a scandal that really struck a chord. So yeah. So he writes in the paper. Do you have any questions?
So he was just running for office at this point. He wasn't even elected.
Correct. He was a candidate for the Republican Party.
And this guy just liked him, so he was like, that's the name.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
Good question. Very good question.
Okay.
So was he the first person to see the peak?
Well,
clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not.
He was the first white person, perhaps?
Oh, actually not, though.
Oh.
Actually not. He was just the first person to go blabbing to the newspapers about it. And he wasn't even an explorer. He was just a hobbyist. He was a merchant. He was basically some dude. Some dude, like, had the audacity to name this the tallest peak in North America just one day, like, tell the paper that he named it that. So... who is William A. Dickey, and where did he get his big motherfucking balls? is the question that I had. So I did a lot of digging. I couldn't find out much information because, again, he's just a man. He wasn't an explorer. I found three details about him through, like, several different articles. He went to Princeton.
Only okay. For him.
Yeah, cool. He worked as a merchant in Seattle. And he did gold prospecting kind of on the side. Like, it was his weekend gig.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And also, apparently, he's known for throwing a nasty curveball.
Oh.
According to The Atlantic. I don't know why that detail was in there.
Good.
Those are the three things we know about this man, which is...
That seems like a super important detail that The Atlantic should...
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think it was in the New York Times article as well.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Nasty curveball. Who knew? So,
who cared?
Yeah, exactly. That was my question. So Dickey came to Alaska, spurred by discoveries of gold in the Cook Inlet. He took three companions, and he made it to a city called Talkeetna. I'm probably butchering that, but it's in Alaska. It's at the foot of Denali. And Denali means great one. Like, there's a reason why it's named that.
Does McKinley also mean great one?
Is
he was a great one?
No. Actually,
was he?
No, he wasn't, but good question.
Okay.
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't a discoverer. He was just a wealthy hobbyist. So you were saying earlier that, oh, he named it because he's like the first white person to see it. But Russia owned Alaska up until the 17... I think they sold it. They sold it in... Well, yeah, Russians saw it in the 1700s. they named the mountain Bolshaya Gora, which means big mountain.
Very creative.
Very. But, you know, it's a big mountain. It's descriptive. So, yeah, so he wasn't the only white person, so maybe he's the only English-speaking person. He wasn't the only English-speaking person.
Of course not.
Of course not. There was an English naval officer named George Vancouver who also wrote about the mountain. He named it Stupendous Snow Mountain.
Shut up.
I swear to God. Oh. I know, 1794. So silly, I know.
I wish that was the meme.
Yes! Stupendous Snow Mountain.
That would make me want to go to Alaska, because I would love to see Alaska.
Alaska's
anyways,
beautiful.
But I would really, that would be like on my list up there. I need to see Stupendous Snow
Mountain. Yes. So
that's disappointing.
I know. And now it's McKinley.
Who cares?
Very sad. So he wasn't even the first American to see it, because there was a man by the name of Frank Densmore in 1889. He renamed the peak Denmore's Mountain.
What? Why does everybody think I saw that? Yeah. So I get to name it.
Very, very good question. Actually, that's kind of, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but there was a man who basically said that that's kind of what we do now. But yeah, I'm going to continue on. So again, why would this happen? Like, why? For what reason? Like, the largest mountain in North America is named by a complete nobody from nowhere. William McKinley hadn't even been martyred yet. That happened in his second term. He hadn't even been elected for a first term. So I was like, okay, maybe McKinley went to Alaska? Nope.
He had nothing to do with Alaska.
Nothing to do with Alaska.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So
was Alaska purchased during his
No.
Okay.
No.
Side note. William H. Seward.
Ooh.
The Secretary of State who purchased Alaska. It was known as Seward's Folly when it was purchased.
Why?
Because they didn't know there was gold there. They didn't know there was anything there.
Yeah, they
just
buy
like,
it for 2 cents an acre.
Yeah. Well, that and they were like, well, even that is too much because it's just some frozen piece of dirt, and what the hell is wrong with it? I almost said fuck, and then I stopped myself, and then I was like, I said hell, but then why am I doing that? Because you guys are gonna hear us swear.
Oh
so
yeah,
get
this
used
is
to
not
it.
For kids. This is we be swearing, we be drinking, and we be swearing.
But anyways, William H. Seward was from my hometown of Auburn, New
York. Very nice.
And there's a museum his house is now a museum in downtown Auburn.
Okay.
So I know something.
Okay, let me add into my story.
It has
story.
Nothing to do with anything.
No, it's,
but,
it's
you know.
Tangential. I like
yes.
it. So, was this Dickey guy, like, just a really big fan of McKinley? And even that is, like, really dubious. He might not have been. They think, again, because this guy was a nobody, that he had some sort of conservative fiscal policies because he's talking to a really conservative paper. And he is a gold prospector kind of on the weekends. But most of the people in Seattle were really into the silver standard because they wanted free currency, and they were in favor of leaving the gold standard, which was like a really big issue at the time. So yeah, it's unclear. But there are two stories. The prevailing story is that it's a very typical American story. It's simple, it's concrete, and it's positive.
Oh, we love that here.
Yes, 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 it's so good. So the prevailing story is the one of the patriotic explorer naming a mountain in tribute to the Republican nominee who was up for election that year. That's the one that's repeated most in history books. It's cited by those who are opposed to restoring the mountain to its native name, but it's, you know, it's not true. It's one of those, you know.
It doesn't matter if it's true. It's a good story, and that's all most Americans care about.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so in 1913, so this was like 8 years after it happened, I think, the explorer Belmore Brown, like a real explorer, like 24/7, this is who he is.
Who does he think he is?
I know. Well, actually, he had some questions for Mr. Dickey.
Oh.
So he offered a different account based on his conversations. I read interrogations of Dickey So this is the quote. A few years ago, when I asked Mr. Dickey why he named the mountain McKinley, he answered that while they were in the wilderness, he and his partner fell in with two prospectors that were rabbit champions of free silver, and that after listening to their arguments for many a weary day, he retaliated by naming the mountain after the champion of the gold standard, which is what McKinley was running on, the gold standard. Yeah, so it was like him being really fucking petty and losing argument after argument with these silver people, and then retaliating by going to the papers and naming the largest mountain in North America after McKinley. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, right?
That sounds definitely more plausible and accurate and American.
So American. The balls of it. Like, it's so petty that I, like, admire him, you know? Because, wow, you're just going to rename a mountain in this territory that we don't even own yet. Like, it's...
For a person who isn't even elected yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be just spiteful.
Exactly.
Oh.
So...
Wow.
It sounds like he kind of got dragged by them. But, so it was kind of a joke. Like, people knew, like, these super petty reasons. And at first people preferred the native name because it's the name.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why it's named the way it is. So, so it didn't really catch on. But he did go blabbing to the New York Sun. And it was slowly gaining some traction amongst, like, conservative people. Surprise, surprise. But McKinley did defeat his opponent, William Jennings Bryan, in 1896 in a very contentious election. So after that, the name sort of got a lot more, gained more momentum. So just a side note to that election, it was crazy. It was so contentious because all of the business leaders at the time just lined up against Jennings because he was pro-silver, and they just couldn't imagine a world where we didn't have the gold standard. Like, they thought that it would be the end of modern civilization, and
do you want to explain the silver versus the gold standard a little bit for those people out there that don't know?
I wish I kept my document, because I was going to do that as my scandal, but I'm like, this is, like, too technical, and, like, I don't have the time.
So tune in for another episode of Beyond Reproach.
Basically, they were in the middle of a depression, and they wanted the free flow of currency, and there just wasn't enough gold, because, it's a very long story, but it's a good one. It's very scandalous, but they say that the election of 1896 was the most expensive election in history.
Wow.
They did the study in 2012,
adjusted for inflation.
Compared to GDP. That was the thing.
Okay.
Like, if you look at the graph, it's like everything is right here, and then this election's, like, right here.
Wow.
And then, it just continues. It's crazy. But, yeah, that's what happens when all of business lines up.
Sure.
With, like, one aim. So...
Lots of things have happened since then.
Yeah.
Because businesses are lining up with one goal.
Yeah. They get what they want.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to go dark. I'm sorry.
No, we're going to keep it nice and light.
Yeah.
So the mountain did, in the end, turn out to be named after a president. And when McKinley was assassinated in Buffalo in 1901, he became a martyred president.
Uh-huh.
And, like, people wept in the street, and they
threw themselves at the base of McKinley.
Absolutely. It's just like, why? He was so wonderful, and he actually seemed to be a decent guy, but yeah. So there was some resistance to the name change. There was a foreigner, a missionary by the name of Hudson Stuck, who was the co-leader of the first expedition that scaled the mountain to its summit. This was in 1913. He lobbied really hard for the peak to be relabeled Denali, its proper name.
He didn't want to call it Stuck Mountain.
No, he didn't. Which is, that's a really good point. Yeah, no, he...
It's like, I saw it too, and I'm going to name it this.
Yeah, he talked to New York Times, and he appealed to the board on geographic names and to his fellow Episcopal priests to support the name change. So he was just trying to do the right thing, which is so adorable that, he he was trying.
Good guys never win.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just like a British guy who immigrated to the U.S. He was a cowboy, he was a teacher, and then he studied theology and then moved to Alaska and was there for 5 years, and he wrote books. And yeah, he spoke out. He was a huge advocate. He spoke out against the mistreatment of Alaskan natives. And apparently, get this, he believed that they, natives, were more in need of appreciation than McKinley, because McKinley was already on the $500 bill at the time. And yeah, so he said that aloud.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was your first mistake.
Right? He's just like, only a silly foreigner would think the U.S. government cares about natives.
Mm-mm.
Like, what?
Poor foreigners,
yeah. Like, no.
America first.
But bless his heart.
Yeah.
He tried. He really did. So the mountain's name was changed officially in 1917. So this is 16 years after his assassination. And, it was Woodrow Wilson that signed it into law, and he created a national park around it.
I was going to say, Denali sounds super familiar, but it's the park is called Denali.
And get there.
Okay, I'm sorry. There.
How dare you ask such good questions? So this happened in 1917, but Alaska didn't become a state until 1959. Just think about that, yes. 1917.
Oh, it was a territory, but it was a U.S. territory.
It was a U.S. territory. Okay. It was a bunch of different things. Like, sure. It went through a lot of like administrative name changes. It was like a military something for a while, because we have to, you know, keep our eyes on the Russians out there. You know, never can be too careful.
You can see them from Alaska, from Sarah Palin's house.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly. So yeah, Alaska didn't become a state until 1959, and with that statehood, probably the next day, they were, they never stopped calling it Denali, because that's what the state's, that's what the mountain's name is, but they began to wonder why, like, their state's, like, baby was named after this random man in Ohio, so they wanted it to be recognized nationally, because it was already recognized in their state as Denali. So the Alaskan legislator backed a proposal to restore the official name back to Denali that same year. And this is where...
In 59?
Yeah, in 59.
Okay. Okay.
Probably like day two of their administration. So this is where my congressman steps up to the plate.
Oh.
Ralph Regula from my hometown, Canton, Ohio. I guess they have to have like a review whenever they change some geographical formation's name officially, so they have to open up to the public, and he got wind of that. So the Board on Geographic Names requested this public comment on the matter, and Ralph Regula, who represents my district, he swiftly came to the defense of Mount McKinley, because, you know, it needs defending and all that. And he convinced the entire Ohio congressional delegation to vote with him against the name change. Yes. He testified that, quote, this action would be an insult to the memory of President McKinley and to the people of my district and the nation, who are so proud of its heritage. Yes, exactly. Yeah, speechless. I'm just going to let that marinate. Yeah, it's a lot. I wrote in my notes, wait, what?
Perhaps changing it to McKinley in the first place was an insult to...
Yeah.
Well.
Everything.
But who cares, right?
But who cares?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares is right. He also said that this is a way to remember his rich legacy after his assassination, which is not true, because it was named when he was a nominee. But yeah, who cares about facts and things?
Mm-hmm.
So, thankfully, Jimmy Carter did the right thing. He changed in 1980. He signed legislation that changed the mountains national park from Mount McKinley National Park to Denali National Park. However, Ralph Regula fought tooth and nail that the mountain stay Mount McKinley. So, in Denali National Park was Mount McKinley in the 80s. So every 2 years, you're able to contest the naming of things. So he would bring, he would put an amendment to legislation that the park would keep, like, he was okay with, he made his peace with Denali being the park, but he was fighting tooth and nail to keep McKinley for the peak. So every 2 years, he would block the change on a national level by submitting a resolution mandating that the mountain, quote, in the state of Alaska, in the United States of America, known as Mount McKinley, shall retain the name of Mount McKinley in perpetuity as an appropriate and lasting tribute to the service of William McKinley to his country.
Okay.
Yes.
So was Carter trying to change the name of the mountain as
well? Of course,
well?
Okay, yes. Yeah, okay. The people of Alaska wanted it to be changed.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What about the, I mean, as Alaska at that point was a state.
Yeah. Oh, it was changed in the state. They wanted it to be nationally recognized.
Okay.
That it was all Denali.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But so people in Alaska.
Never stopped calling it Denali.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, because why would they?
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially considering how McKinley had nothing to do with Alaska
whatsoever.
Nothing,
not one, like, nothing. So every 2 years, the legislation wouldn't get anything, wouldn't get anywhere because he wouldn't file it. So if you make an amendment and you just have it pending, it can be pending for 2 years. So he would just do this every 2 years to block the people from Alaska, changing it back to Denali. So he did this until he retired in 2009. And you think that, like, okay, finally they can change it back, but he convinced all the Ohio lawmakers to carry the torch for him, to continue to fight for Mount McKinley, for the people of Ohio, for his legacy, for, I don't know.
Name something in Ohio, McKinley. Give me a break.
Yeah, no, there's so many things in Ohio. Like, I'm from his basically adopted hometown. It's where his wife is from. And he lived there when he was younger. But, yeah, there's tons of things. There's a high school. There's a middle school. There's a park. There's a memorial. There's, I mean, it's crazy.
He needs a mountain in another state. thousands of miles away?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's so absurd. So it really made no sense, but thankfully he had an aide who was just fine with spilling all the tea. Like, someone asked her, like, why does he do this? Is it like a local pride thing? And she had to say that the congressman feels that a lot of money goes into making maps, and names shouldn't be changed lightly. So maybe there's some map-making lobby that was giving him money, perhaps, but she went on to say that, quote, if they win Denali, Native groups will want to change other names. So that's kind of the truth coming out.
But, like,
you give an inch, they take a mile sort of mentality.
But they deserve a mile.
Exactly.
They deserve a few miles.
Thousands,
even.
Thousands, yeah.
I mean, where I grew up, everything has Native American names.
Yeah.
All, you know.
Yeah.
Russell, my husband, Russell, is from L.A. and thinks it's bizarre to go to upstate New York and, you know, everything is some difficult to pronounce Native American name.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's how it should be.
That's the history of this place.
Yeah. And, I mean, everything in Southern California has a Spanish name.
Yeah.
And nobody's fighting that.
Yeah, exactly. It's bizarre. It's like, yeah, doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, so they continue to fight from 2009 and beyond. But thankfully, I'm going to say, enter Barack Hussein Obama, first of his name. He,
Can we change it to Obama Mountain?
Yeah.
Mount Obama?
No, we should. That would be awesome. Even though that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't support that. I don't want the people of Alaska coming for me. Don't.
We should change something in I almost said Ohio. But that would be fun, too. But what I really meant was Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah.
That
would
make more
sense. Yes, exactly.
But something in Ohio would be really good. Just the irony of the whole situation.
Of, like, someone who's not from there changing something, like a landmark in Ohio.
Yeah, because the people in Ohio are the ones changing the names in Alaska.
Yeah, like, renaming Lake Erie.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Yes.
But
Lake Obama.
Yeah, President Obama came in, and with one like swoop of the pen, he ended all the fuckery. By executive order, he changed it overnight. Within 48
hours. So it's Denali
now? It's Denali, yeah.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Because he was flying to his first visit in Alaska, and I think that's when people told him this whole story. And he's just like, no, I can't go there when this is happening. So before his visit, it was changed. So, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. The end. Well, actually, not the end, because obviously Republicans had a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because here comes King Obama.
Well,
know,
also,
change names.
The current administration loves to undo anything that Obama's done, so who knows how... The next thing we know, there's going to be a Trump hotel on the mountain, on top.
Oh, no.
Gondola ride, golden gondola.
Of course, golden, yeah.
Up to the top of Mount Trump.
Just the tackiest.
It'll be like the Hollywood sign, but it'll just say Trump at the summit. Okay, I need to stop.
But it was actually John Boehner who, this was 2015.
Oh,
yeah, R.I.P.
He's cute.
I guess he's still alive, so I shouldn't say R.I.P. He's just dead to us.
Dead to, absolutely.
So he, you know, he was very deeply in his feelings about this. He said that there is a reason President McKinley's name has served atop the highest peak in North America for more than 100 years, and that is because it is a testament to his great legacy. Which is a lie.
But it had his legacy, which had nothing to do with Alaska or that mountain.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
Well, that was great.
Yeah.
That was
crazy, right?
Stupendous first episode.
It was like a wild ride.
It was.
It was all over the place. And it had local significance for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had no fucking clue this was happening on my behalf,
yes.
Apparently. Like,
this is.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Like, if you polled all of Canton, nobody knows about this. No one.
I mean, I'd certainly never...
Yeah.
I guess never considered the name McKinley.
Yeah.
And why it was called that. It never even... You know, why would that occur to somebody who's never even been to Alaska?
Yeah.
But why would it be named that?
I never really questioned it. We did learn it in school. Mm-hmm. Like, that was Mount McKinley, its tallest peak. But...
Sure.
I didn't question it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
why would you?
Yeah. McKinley's boring. No one cares.
Yeah. True story. And we don't have the gold standard anymore anyways,
no,
right?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, ha ha ha, yeah. McKinley.
I mean, we kept it for a while because they thought that would prevent us sinking into like a deeper depression, but we did anyway, so it
well,
was meaningless.
And there's, I mean, there's too many people in the world for currency to be based on this weird piece of metal.
Yeah, so rare. Like, precious piece of... It's... Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought that, like, silver and, what did they call it? Like, notes or something? Basically,
mm-hmm.
Paper money was, like, the end of everything. Like, nickels were gonna destroy us. Clearly.
We'll see.
Stay tuned!
On the next episode.
Nickels destroyed us. Yeah.
Well, that was great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I learned something.
Yeah. I also learned something.
So, I can't afford it, but I'm gonna put a pause.
Ooh!
Right here.
Look at you, big spender.
Because I need another drink.
Yeah. I need all the drinks.
Okay. Yes.
Ooh.
So here we are. Yes. Okay,
like
so we're
that.
Back, and we're back with cocktails here.
Oh, these paper straws are dumb.
Yeah,
they're so
really
pretty.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Like art.
Yes. So we're back. We're drinking cherry cobblers again.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. They're super good. There's maybe... I have a food blog. I am a food blogger.
You're a foodie.
Yes, I'm a foodie. Hi. But this, I might, if I'm feeling frisky, post the recipe for sherry cobbler on my website, which is brooklynhomemaker.com.
I feel like you need to.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's real, real good.
So I was saying before, this recipe is from the 1800s, and it was super popular in the 1800s, and then it fell out of favor, and I was concerned that we were going to make this cocktail for the sake of the podcast, and that it would be horrible. For modern taste, that we would drink it and spit it out And but then I taste tested yesterday because I am a food blogger and I recipe test everything. And it was fucking delicious.
Yeah, it's real, real
good. It's so good. It tastes like summer. It tastes like
it's very refreshing.
Sunshine.
Yes.
Citrus and sunshine.
But it's not too sweet, which is
stupendous.
Oh, snow
mountain. Stupendous snow mountain. It tastes like stupendous citrus mountain.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh boy.
We can edit that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna dive in. Are we ready? I'm feeling a little podcast shame. Because you did so good.
Did I really? I feel like you guys are
no, I'm nervous. Like mine is gonna be stupid now.
Yours is not gonna be stupid. Yours is gonna, not be rambling and shrill, but go on.
So mine is a little bit, well, not a little bit. Mine is more contemporary. Mm. Mine was not from the 1800s, so this cocktail has nothing to do with it. But that's okay, because it's good.
It's real good.
So, in the beginning.
Ooh.
24,000 years ago.
How dare you? I feel like that's mocking.
No, that was great.
I accept it.
Edward Lee Schrock.
Okay.
Was born April 6th, 1941, in Middletown, Ohio.
Yes!
I didn't choose this because of Ohio. Oh, he actually was born in Ohio, but did not serve in Ohio.
We're going to get so many Ohio followers.
Oh, this is going to be great.
I mean, they might be a little mad about regular...
Canton, Ohio, right?
Yeah.
That's where you're from?
Canton, yes.
I'm spacing.
We're the other Canton, not the China one, where Cantonese comes from.
Oh, Canton.
We're the other one.
I'm like, what? I have another friend that lives close to you in Ohio, but no, I can't. I'm spacing on the name
it's
of
all right.
the town. I've told you.
Yeah, you have. And I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because.
Middle something? Mm. No. I'm making this up. Don't listen to me.
Okay.
Just everybody stop. Stop listening. okay. So Edward Lee Schrock is from Middletown. Oh, that's where Middletown is.
Oh!
Jesus.
Okay. These drinks are real strong, you guys. Bear with us.
Oh, no. This podcast is officially canceled. Thanks
grand
for listening.
Grand closing.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so good old Ed Schrock.
Yes.
Born April 6, 1941. He married Judy Crawford, and they had a son named Randy. He was a naval officer. He completed two tours of duty in Vietnam, and after 24 years of service, retired, briefly worked as an investment broker before becoming a politician.
Okay. What year was this again?
He was elected a Republican member of the Virginia State Senate in 1996.
Okay.
Then in 2000, he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Virginia, which includes Virginia Beach, Accomack. I looked that up to make sure I was saying it right. I now don't remember if I'm saying it correctly. So.
It's okay. They'll tell us.
Accomack, Northampton counties, and parts of Hampton and Norfolk. He was also president of Virginia Beach's Atlantic Shores Baptist Church.
Ooh, uh-oh.
Yeah, well, that's where we're going. Well, no, that's not where we're going, but that plays a part. Everything plays a part.
Yes.
His district was home to, or is home, to the world's largest U.S. naval base.
Hmm.
And since he was in the in Vietnam and he was a naval officer, he was on the House Armed Services Committee, and military and Navy issues were a huge focus in his career and his voting record and everything that he cared about.
Yes.
But guess what else was a huge focus of his career?
Oh, no. Okay. Is it a sex scandal?
Well, we're going to stay with his voting record for
now.
Oh,
damn it. Okay.
His voting record.
Because
he was super... Yes. Well, that's one of them.
Yeah.
But I was going to say...
Family values.
Gay shit.
Yeah. I was feeling that.
Yeah.
The church thing. I'm like...
Yeah. So in 2000, Schrock favored ending the Clinton administration's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
Ah, yes.
But not for the reason that we favored ending that policy.
Oh, no.
He thought that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was too lenient, and instead supported asking enlistees whether or not they'd ever had any homosexual experiences.
Wow.
And eliminating
that
them if
so
the answer was yes.
That is so aggressive.
Yes.
Like, wow, the overreach.
Yes.
Like, okay, why not? What color are your underwear?
I know.
Like, this is none of your goddamn business.
Schrock told the Virginian pilot, you're in the showers with them. You're in the bunk room with them.
Ooh,
you're in
like,
the staterooms with
sounds
them.
Sounds like he's into it.
You just hope no harm would come by folks of who are of that persuasion.
What?
I know.
What?
It's a discipline thing.
He's wait, right. Oh. Wait, okay.
Like, so you're
going to
beat up the gays because they're serving with you? Or I guess it's sort of unclear what he meant by that, but he would hope no harm came to them for serving in the military.
Damn.
Which is like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But whatever. Step down.
I was thinking in a very, like, BDSM way. I'm just like, discipline?
Well,
ooh,
we'll
okay.
Get there.
I'm imagining, like, a ball gag.
Yeah.
And, like, being...
Well, so is he.
Yeah. Yes.
sorry.
I am clairvoyant, you guys.
Foreshadowing. He was also a co-sponsor of the Federal Marriage Amendment.
Of course.
A constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage by defining it to be between a man and a woman. He also voted against bills that would bar employment discrimination against gay people.
What?
I mean, he was a real peach.
Okay.
Also... Like you were saying before, he is super against women's reproductive rights. He voted yes on making it a crime to harm a fetus multiple times. Voted yes on banning partial birth abortions except to save the mother's life. Voted yes on banning family planning funding in U.S. aid abroad.
Wow, yeah, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, it's so fucked up.
He was given a 7% rating by the ACLU.
Yes.
Yeah. But also, he was given a 92% rating, a score from the Christian Coalition.
Of course he was.
Second only to House Speaker Dennis Hastert.
Okay.
He was also anti-marijuana.
Yeah.
And pro-school prayer.
Oh.
Yeah.
In public school.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Wow.
He's a great guy. So... On August 19th, 2004.
Ooh, that's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Well, this was your birthday present for...
Oh no. I don't want it.
No, this is a good thing. Oh. So, on August 19th, 2004, a blogger and gay activist named Michael Rogers posted audio files, allegedly of Schrock's voice, on his, in the article I was reading, called it a web log, because this was 2004 and we didn't know what a blog was yet.
Yeah.
So on his web log, blogactive.com, which unfortunately is no longer active.
How sad.
Rogers wasn't able to provide definitive proof that it was 100% Ed Schrock's voice, but he said that he had friends in high places in D.C. who corroborated the story, so he went with it. And he posted these files on his website. for a short time, people in the government said, there's no proof, the files are just a distraction because... at the time, Schrock was running for a third term.
Okay.
So they were like, oh, this guy's just making shit up because...
Yeah, this is like a smear campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
One Republican lawmaker who later gave an interview on the subject on the condition of anonymity said, we were unable to get any facts. It was all rumors and conjecture. No one wanted to believe the rumors. Everyone wanted to stand with Ed. But on the first night of the Republican National Convention in New York, 11 days after the files were released, Schrock suddenly dropped out of his race for a third term on August 30th.
Ooh.
In a super vague statement that he released when he, left his campaign and dropped out of the race, he said, In recent weeks, allegations have surfaced that have called into question my ability to represent the citizens of Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. after much thought and prayer.
Oh, God.
I have come to the realization that these allegations will not allow my campaign to focus on the real issues facing our nation and region. Therefore, as of today, I am stepping aside and will no longer be the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 2nd Congressional District.
Wow.
That's all he said, though. He didn't really address the actual allegations.
Yeah, but he kind of did.
Well, yeah. So, and then he kind of basically just disappeared. He wouldn't.
Wow.
He wouldn't give any more interviews. He wouldn't speak to anyone. And it was said that he he like left. He left Virginia with Randy and Judy, his son and wife, who were said to be aware of the situation and supportive.
Oh.
But they were traveling and couldn't be reached for comment, and he wouldn't discuss it.
Okay.
So, you want to know what the files were?
Oh, yes. Sure do.
So, the audio clip was allegedly of Schrock's entry to a personal's phone line for gay men. This was still a thing. Yeah. Personal's phone lines in 2004, apparently.
Phone line? What does that even mean?
Like, instead of, I guess, Craigslist, you would like call a phone number and you could listen to, well, I imagine you could listen to people in your area that were
looking to get some. Those commercials, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I have a clip to play. I also have some quotes, but I have a clip of...
Wait, you have audio of this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
So we're going to play this. I have to cue it up.
I hope he said something really, like, awful and kinky and weird. Like, he's into, I don't know, like a cat licking his butt. In addition to.
As well as.
Yes.
I'm just looking to get together with any white guy who has got a great body on him. He's got a good size endowment. He's cut. Just get together, get naked, play with one another, get each other off. Nothing hardcore. Incredibly careful, incredibly safe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
A big endowment.
That's some request.
Yeah. So, I also have another. I have another quote that I don't have audio of this quote, but there's more than one of these messages that he left on this service.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hi. I weigh 200 pounds, 6'4", hazel eyes, blonde hair, very muscular, very
Stop
buffed
it.
Up.
Okay, I want to see
very
his photo.
Tanned.
This is what he's looking for.
No, well, I
or
think this
is who
he's saying
okay.
what he looks like. Meanwhile, this man is not.
No,
we'll put pictures on our Instagram so you guys can see what he actually looked like in 2004.
Well, you know, politics is called Hollywood for the ugly. So he does not look like this.
No,
I don't believe it.
He was 63 years old.
Oh God! Of course he was.
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean,
you
yeah.
could still be, but
sure,
he wasn't.
But
he wasn't
blonde.
Yeah.
I mean, he had. Yeah. I mean, I guess he may have been blondish gray, but I wouldn't.
Oh.
I wouldn't refer to the man in this image.
Disconnect between reality and it's.
So he it went on. I just like to get together with a guy from time to time, just to play.
Oh.
I'd like him to be in very good shape, flat stomach, good chest, good arms, well hung, cut. Just get naked, play, and see what happens. Nothing real heavy duty, just a fun time.
Huh.
Go down on him, he can go down on me, and just take it from there. Hope to hear from you. Bye.
Oh, creepy. Shivers.
Meanwhile, he's...
Bye!
Yeah.
What?
So, Michael Rogers, who said his blog was aimed at exposing hypocrites in Congress, said that the fact that Schrock didn't comment on this for 11 days made me think, wow, this is really true.
Yeah.
It's the whole no comment thing.
Yeah.
When is the last time a congressman resigned over baseless allegations?
Mm-hmm.
If the congressman
Never.
Believes it is untrue, I welcome him to file a libel or slander suit against me. Which, of course, never happened.
Well, actually, they can't do it because he's a public official.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but yeah. It's also true, so.
yeah. So, Rogers, in an interview, said, when the story of Congressman Ed Schrock first came to me, I was quite skeptical. After all, Congressman Schrock's district includes parts of Hampton and Norfolk and Virginia Beach, home to no less than 9 military facilities and Pat Robertson's Regent University.
Oh, no.
Nevertheless, the activities of the Congressman Schrock have been documented and verified as thoroughly as any I have seen come before me. And what I have learned is, well, shocking. This is his quote, not mine.
Oh.
Shocking.
How dare he?
Congressman Ed Schrock has made a habit of rendezvousing with gay men in the Mega Mates Megaphone Line, an interactive telephone.
How retro. I love that name.
2004.
Mega Mates Mega what?
I guess they were two separate phone lines.
Okay.
Megaphone and Mega Mates. Or maybe, I don't know.
That's hilarious.
This is 20. We don't do this anymore in 2018. An interactive telephone service on which men place ads and respond to those ads to meet each other. What makes this story more amazing? Congressman Schrock not only voted for the Homophobic Marriage Protection Act, but he also signed on as a co-sponsor of the Federal Marriage Amendment. Rogers had been making the claim that Republican congressmen had pursued gay trysts as far back as 2001, but the allegations had never found their way into print. Mm. At this point, he didn't have enough proof, or people just didn't want to hear it or didn't care. But, you know, I mean, there is, like, a whole, the idea that someone's private life is supposed to be private and their public life, you know. Yeah, but if you live your life in the public,
you know, realm. You're out there.
Yeah,
so,
and you're a fucking politician.
You're fair game, yeah.
So don't, maybe don't vote against a bunch of gay shit if you're going to be sucking dick.
Yeah, this is just so classic.
I mean, well, that's the thing. That's why I chose this story, because
it's
like,
but a goodie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun.
It is fun. It was real fun. It was shocking.
Yeah, shocking. When he finally had the audio files, he finally got the attention in the media, and it sort of blew up. And it was 11 days after he posted the files that Schrock
resigned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some political activists in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia said it had long been rumored that Schrock might be gay. Jim Polk, former vice chairman of Virginia Beach's Republican Committee, said when he ran for re-election a few years ago, there was a little bit of whispering.
Oh, God.
Several Republicans were saying, if that's true, we need to get him out of there. It just didn't go anywhere at the time. People were hesitant to bring it up.
Oh, my God.
But then, you know, in November... November 2nd, the general election, another Republican named Thelma Drake was elected to replace him, even though there was a really great Democratic candidate. I had his name, but I didn't put it in my outline.
Okay.
But of course, it was a Republican. I mean, it's that part of Virginia that's like Pat
Whatever
Robinson,
happened to
blah,
him?
Blah, blah.
Like, is there...
Well, so there's. I have a little bit of information. I did a lot of research to find out what kind of happened to him, but basically he really did...
Just drop
he
off
just
the face.
Yeah,
of the
he was like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm.
Yeah, they're on to me.
Yeah,
ah!
Exactly. And he's like, no, this isn't. I don't want to live my life, in public anymore because people know some shit that I don't want them to know. So he just disappeared.
Yeah.
There's more to come though.
Ooh.
But I do. I mean, I have a little bit of information,
okay.
But it's there's not like everything. I mean, it was also 2004, so the internet was a thing.
Yeah.
But it was in its
robust.
Infancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was hard to find much after he dropped out. There's a lot on the internet about what happened and when it happened,
yeah,
but there's not really much follow up.
Okay.
Michael Rogers, the blogger who outed him, said his claims about Schrock were motivated by anger over what he said was the hypocrisy of the congressman's opposition to gay rights while leading the gay lifestyle.
Oh, yes.
The purpose of his website is to make public the names of lawmakers and other politicians who engage in such hypocrisy. Why should my community protect them? He asked. He's the enemy. Remember, these people are saying we're bad people. What's being outed here is hypocrisy, not homosexuality. But there were people in the gay community who were kind of upset at Rogers for publicly outing someone without their permission.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, like, that's
I get it.
That's
yeah.
fucked up,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, but this man's a hypocrite.
He's a hypocrite,
yeah,
and he's doing
gonna,
actual damage
yeah,
to the gay
absolutely.
Community.
Yeah.
And by outing him, he's taking his power to do things
mm-hmm.
away. And it's not like he's just going around outing...
Anyone.
Random
yeah.
people who don't you know,
deserve to be outed.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's exactly it. That it's the idea that he deserved it because yeah. he was using his power in a harmful way.
Yeah.
In a against the very people he was taking advantage of. I don't know if this is like a. I'm assuming it's not a paid sex thing, this phone line, but still.
Oh, yeah.
It still feels like he's taking advantage of younger guys, misrepresenting himself in the ads.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. You said he's like a man in his
63, I think he was at the time. 64.
Yeah, and he's wanting like young 20-something, like hot.
Well-hung.
Well-hung.
Cut. He has a type. White. Yes, man.
White.
Very important. Yes, discreet. Very.
Discreet. Hilarious.
Except, yeah, discreet, but you're leaving your fucking voice. Yeah. He's not saying his name, but like, come on.
People have heard your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
But so, you know, he basically said, I did this. He defended himself by saying, like, I did this to protect others in the gay community.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not just outing random people.
Yeah.
And he
were
went
they really upset, or was it just?
I mean,
like
there
a
was just
people...
a little bit of a backlash within the gay community because it's not cool to out people.
It isn't cool, but like certain people.
Sure.
He's not outing regular people.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Living
exactly.
Their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. years later, like after kind of the fallout, the dust had settled. Rogers gave an interview and he said, part of the problem at the time was the media. Which was culpable in a kind of journalistic homophobia that I wanted to correct. If journalists really wanted to treat gay and straight subjects equally, I reasoned, they should report on them with equal scrutiny, too. The media have always written stories about straight politicians who take hypocritical positions on different issues.
Yeah.
Secure our borders conservatives who employ undocumented immigrants, or a politician who argues against a woman's right to choose while secretly arranging for abortions for his mistress. So why not do the same for gay politicians? Which is legit.
Oh, like, absolutely.
That's yeah. That's fucked up if you're getting, you know, if you're getting women pregnant.
Yeah, it should be the same standard.
Yeah.
Like
so,
hypocrisy.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that was his sort of like reasoning for outing him, which is totally legit and totally.
He's being really nice for talking to these people.
He's doing God's work.
He did nothing wrong.
Yeah. No, absolutely. At the time that this was, I mean, this is, it feels like it was not that long ago, 2004, but things have come a long way.
Yeah, 2004 was eons ago.
Yeah, I mean, especially within, with gay, gay rights, certainly, but also gay visibility has changed a lot.
Definitely.
So, I mean, that's more than 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
14 to be exact.
Oh, look at you, math
doing math here. With cocktails.
Yeah.
But so... at the time, there were only 3 openly gay members of Congress in the whole, you know, in all of Congress, which is crazy. I mean,
wow.
I suppose there's not probably that many more now, but still.
I didn't even know that there were 3.
I mean, Barney Frank.
Oh, yeah, Barney Frank.
There was a Republican from Arizona and a Democrat. My notes are funny. I said, Republican from Arizona and Democrat from Wisconsin. : lesbian.
Oh, how dare you.
Oh, boy. Hey, we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I like that you say we. I didn't say anything.
You just wait until McKinley
I know, they're gonna come
comes
for
after
me.
You.
Yeah, Ralph Regula. I had to look up. I'm like, is he alive still?
Is
like,
he alive?
No.
Okay.
R.I.P.
You're safe.
Right?
So Schrock was replaced by a series of House members who were, relative to Schrock, quiet on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, quiet on gay marriage issues. Obviously, he was, because of his district, he was replaced by other conservatives, but conservatives who were not as vocal about gay issues as he was.
Yeah, because they're not self-hating.
They're not,
gays.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of... Rogers, that's his sort of vindication. Like, I got Truck out.
Mm-hmm.
He was replaced by other conservatives, but like, look what these ones are doing versus what he
absolutely.
Was doing. He had the story not been reported, Schrock would have still occupied that seat, and he might have. I mean, who knows how far things could have gotten,
but still,
who
yeah.
knows? You
yeah.
know, we don't know what would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, he was trash. He needed to go.
So now, now Shrock is, I really tried to find information on what had happened after, and I know he...
I just want him to be, like, gay, living in Miami Beach, like, wearing short shorts, maybe, like, on some rollerblades.
Yeah. He's in Brooklyn. He lives in Bushwick.
Stop it! No. There was a second that you had me. I'm just like, let's go get him! Yeah,
no. He lives in Bushwick. He hangs out at Sugarland. Sugarland's not around anymore.
Yeah.
R.I.P. But yeah, so... right after all of this happened, he kind of tried to stay close to government in a weird, in like a sort of roundabout way.
Surprise.
He was like, because he loved public service. And like there was some interviews. I ended up taking them out of my outline because they were boring. But like, he was like put on some committees that were like things that he had set up or served on.
Oh, okay.
But then he wanted to stay like close to his like pet projects. So he was basically given a job to work on these committees, even though he was no longer an elected official. But it was like a huge pay cut. He was making, you know, something like whatever, $150,000 a year as a politician. But then obviously he's making like kind of not minimum wage, but not a living wage, I guess. Mm. But then there really wasn't much after that. But I did sort of randomly by some like deep Googling.
Ooh.
It's
like page
deep state.
Seven.
Yes. he is now 77 years old. He is the executive director of Shepherd Center of McLean Arlington Falls Church.
Okay, I'm
going
to stop you here. Oh, church. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's a church. Yeah.
It's a volunteer run center that gives rides to seniors who need to see doctors and fill prescriptions.
I thought it was going to be a pray the gay away.
No.
And
oh, my God.
We have to burn
old seniors.
The
gay seniors.
He drives them into the woods. That's okay. We're
but first they have
out.
Sex.
Okay.
We're bad people. I'm a bad person.
Thank
but
you.
But that's okay.
I'm like, let's use I statements.
So he worked, he's an executive director, but for like a church volunteer seniors service, like ride service.
Yeah.
And then there was this sort of like weird interview that I found on this church's website about the service and about like him sort of running it. And they didn't really give any background into who he was or how why he was there doing this. So it's like, oh, this is just this nice man that does this stuff. And his quote is, I was born and raised to believe that we're put here on this earth to serve others. That was just pounded into my head the whole time I grew up. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So, I mean, that's nice. He's doing nice things. But, like, I mean, you're also... He's 77 years old, so, like, you're running a senior center. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm
he's
not going to judge him.
Good.
He's, exactly. Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean...
We're going to edit out all the laughter.
No. That's not...
I'm like
laughing.
Trying not to
I am
laugh
laughing at
because
this
I want to be the better one.
You think you're better than me? So, I mean, whatever. Like, good for him. He's doing nice things.
Yeah,
but, like, you're still part of this church. You literally are a fucking homo.
Yeah. Oh,
wanted... Yeah. You said on a voice recording that you wanted to suck dick.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit, I got caught. Can I work at the church now? Thanks.
Yeah.
Years after the scandal broke, Rogers let Blog Active go dormant.
Okay.
He said at the time that he'd leave it up as an archive of his work. Like in an interview, he said that, you know, he wasn't going to be updating it anymore, but that it would remain up so that people could, you know, reference it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to find it and it's no longer active. He said he wanted the archive to serve as a reminder of another era in this nation's history. Thankfully, there is much less need for the blog today. No longer is my community under constant threat of having discrimination against us written into the Constitution.
He didn't know.
He didn't know.
He wasn't clairvoyant like me.
Yeah. So, that's kind of where I'm ending this. Like, he needs to put his block back up.
Right.
Because we need him. We need
Save
you.
Us. Michael Save Rogers. Us.
I mean, we could use more people like yeah. Michael Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah, we could.
So.
Yeah. Cheers.
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 Stupendous citrus mountain. Mmm. Thank you for listening, everybody, because we're a shit show and we don't know what we're doing. But we're going to get there.
We are going to get
there.
Be
patient with us.
Yeah.
We love you.
Oh, that's so intimate. I just like you a lot.
Okay.
Because
that's
I
fine.
Have boundaries.
Yeah.
Unlike some people I know.
I have boundary issues. That's not true.
Oh.
I don't know. Do I?
No, no, I'm... It was a joke.
Yeah. I'm ruining the joke.
You are.
Beating it into the ground. Making it...
You just made it so weird in here. But it's okay.
That's okay. It's the end.
It is the end.
But anyways, yeah. Thanks for listening. This
yeah,
was, you know,
this was a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
A very...
Shocking. The end.
Yeah, bye guys. Hey everybody, thanks for listening. If you like us, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Beyond Reproach or Beyond Reproach Pod. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks!
Thank you.
Ooh, I felt like my chest tightened.